Onward and upward we go. Hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us here on this Monday morning here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. We are in the Christmas season for sure. Had some Christmas show interviews last week. Going to have a couple more today in the studio with me now. 40 years ago, Gene Mackey and his wife and daughter, I guess, all started theater for Young America here in the city. And, 40 years now, Gene. Maybe a little over 40 years. Gene Mackey, of course.
43 years, actually.
43 years.
And you mentioned Valerie. Yes, she was around. She claimed she was a year old, but actually she was. She was about seven.
I hope she's not mad at me.
She was in on it from the beginning.
And you've done many shows over the years at different locations. This particular show, I should do a proper introduction. Gene is the executive director of the Theater for Young America and also the playwright of this particular play. And as I was going to say, of several of the plays that your theater does.
Yes, I've written a lot of plays for Theater for Young America. It's kind of my main hobby right now.
Do you like to tailor it your particular way?
Absolutely. I tailor it for the actors involved, and it usually works because later it makes it easier to cast another production of the play later because you say, this is a Don Richard type role, you know, or this is that kind of character.
Yeah, well, also with us is Evan Lovelace. He plays one of the wise cats in the show.
Yes.
The Three Wise Cats, a Christmas musical.
I play a Jewish cat and Jack.
What are they? So it's three cats. And is it New York City?
We're in New York City. And we are three completely different cats who have just ended up in this alley and just living and learning together. It's beautiful.
Gene, did you ever live in New York?
I did. I lived actually the residential hotel that the humans live in, and the alley outside the hotel is the St. Francis Hotel. And I actually briefly lived in a hotel in New York City on East 44th Street that was the St. Francis Hotel, and so I based it on that.
Yeah.
This was written in the late 80s during a time when the homeless situation in New York City was at a crisis level. A lot of the residential hotels were being taken over for development as condos, and they weren't solving the problem of what to do for the people who were living there at low rent, low subsidized rent, and no place to go and no home. So homelessness became a big issue. And so that was the motivating factor behind this. It was about homeless humans, but also homeless cats. When they clean up the alley for the condo, the cats are going to lose their nice garbage heap home themselves.
Yeah, I like the way you work a message in very softly.
Yeah.
With a storyline, about kids, and kids would understand it better if you made it about cats.
Yeah, it's about cats, but it's also about being homeless, and cats are often homeless, more so than humans even, and so kids can relate to that, and it's still an important topic. There's still plenty of homeless people.
And Evan told me that this is the third time to KKFI, the first time ever on my show.
Yes.
What other shows have you been in that people would recognize you from?
I was in High School Musical 2 with Patrick Productions, and then I was also in, played the lead role and as well as choreographed and staged Silver, a noir ballet at the Fringe Festival. And we were the second most viewed show at the Fringe Festival and best in venue as well. So.
Yeah. Is this your first show with Theater for Young America?
No, I've been here. I think this is my 15th or
16th. Oh, wow. You're getting to be a real vet. They must like you.
Yeah, they do. I've been here since I was 19 years old. And Val found me. I was auditioning for another show that she happened to be helping somebody cast. And she called me in for Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and I played Edmund in that. And just ever since then, I've just been working here and enjoying every second of it.
Yeah, well, Gene told us earlier, 43 years ago. What was your purpose in starting the theater?
Well, there was a need for professional, high-quality live theater for young people. It was sporadic in Kansas City back in the 70s. The universities would do some children's programming, and you had Junior League was doing some amateur productions around the schools, but there wasn't a professional full-time year-round theater for young audiences in town. Speaking of young audiences, there was the Kansas City Young Audiences Organization, which provided some programming in schools, but for a live theater where children would come to it, students would come to it, that didn't exist back then. So we thought, and I had worked for several years at the Casa Mañana Playhouse down in Fort Worth, Texas, mm-hmm. which was a professional children's theater, and in a town about the same size as Kansas City, and I thought, it could work here.
Yeah.
And it has for 43 years.
Sure, sure. Now, is my memory failing me? Did you do shows at one time at the Waldo Astoria?
That's where we actually began, at the Waldo Astoria. It was thanks to Dennis Hennessy and Richard Carruthers. They more or less sponsored us in the beginning, and both of them were very interested in having some children's theater mm-hmm. programming in Kansas City and wanted to see it happen. And I proposed to him, I said, I think we can start one right here. And we performed in the Waldo Astoria Theater for several years, actually.
Yeah, you've moved around. You've been in several different theaters. You were in one, the one in, was it downtown Overland Park? The old
yes,
area?
Yes, it's now the Rio Theater, movie theater. It was always a movie theater, but we had converted it to a live theater. And we were there for, 17 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
And then we moved to the Mission Center Mall for a while, and then they tore that down. So we bounced around a little bit and ended up at Union Station City Stage in 2004, I think it was, when we first did programming there. And have been there ever since. A great location for
it. Yeah, and now you're the master tenant, I guess, because you're probably there all the time. Other productions are there at night sometimes.
Yes, we're called the Children's Theater in Residence there uh-huh. at City Stage. In the evening, KCAT, Kansas City Actors Theater, performs regular season there in the evenings, and EGADS production did a show there just recently. A lot of different companies do evening shows there.
So most of your shows are like 10 and noon and maybe in the afternoon as well?
Yeah, and then Saturdays at 2 o'clock or some 4 o'clock shows as well, but mainly it's a daytime matinee. We do one Friday evening 7 p.m. show. Mm-hmm. I think we have scheduled for this as well.
Yeah. So do you have mostly school groups coming?
Yeah, most of our audience are school groups that come in large, classes. We seat about 200, and so we can get a pretty good-sized school group or two in there, and that is our main audience. And we prepare. I brought the study guide because I wanted to have a cheat sheet in mm-hmm. case you asked me a difficult question.
Oh yeah, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah. I never know. But Cheryl prepares these every show, and they're very erudite, kind of a lot of background information on the show for teachers so they can apply what they see to the classroom as well.
Now, I've never seen you in a show. I remember seeing your wife in Charlotte's Web.
Yes, she was great as a writer.
Yes, and I've seen your daughter many times, of course. But I've never seen you. Have you ever ventured on the stage?
I used to act a long time ago, but I was many years when we were back in Overland Park, one summer we were so strapped for funding, we said, everybody's got to act this summer, and it's the only way we can get through the summer. And I got pulled into a couple of shows for that one summer, but I'm busy enough just doing, what I do. And there are other people who are better, like Evan and all the actors.
I'm sure he is. Thinking of Gene Mackey, the executive director, and a playwright of many of the plays at Theater for Young America, and Evan Lovelace, who plays the role of, what's your cat's name?
Jack.
Jack? Okay.
Jack the cat.
Jack,
yes.
Is he a cool cat?
He's a cool cat. He's the old cat. He's an old Jewish cat from New York who is just trying to get the group together the whole time. He's kind of got this anxiety going on about knowing that St. Francis is about to be turned over to somebody else. And so he wants to get the cats just settled and like, hey, this is what's going on. We need to fix this. How are we going to do this? He asks all the questions.
Uh-huh.
And the other two cats are there. And may use their smarts in order to find a solution to the problem. And
so if the church goes away, also the alley where the cats live will go away as well.
Yes.
It's kind of a metaphor, as Gene said earlier, of the homeless situation.
Yes. And there's a homeless woman that is in the show, and their character is homeless, and that's her home, just being in that alley. And there's a musician who is always on the piano and he's playing, but there's a young mother who has a baby, and she is always having to move around, and she just doesn't think that it's safe for this baby, and so she allows her sister to take care of her baby, and that's we want to bring her baby back, mm-hmm. and so we have to make it so that she can have a place to stay and a place to live, so she can get her baby back, and that it's a good place for them all to live.
Okay, the show opens, I guess, tomorrow. November 22nd would be tomorrow.
Yes. Yes.
At, of course, they still call the H&R Block.
H&R Theater. Block City Stage.
It's not the Gene Mackey Theater.
No. We haven't named anything after.
The H&R Block. No, that would be the memorial.
Yeah. Right.
In Crown Center, the H&R Block City Stage Theater is
in Union Station.
Our Union Center, that's right. Yeah. It's on the lower level.
On the very lower level.
Level B. Union Station has an address. A lot of people don't know what the address
is. It does.
30 West Pershing Road, Kansas City, Missouri. If you MapQuest things, 64108 is where we should go to. The show runs November 22nd through December the 24th, so a nice long run. Evan probably appreciates that.
It is a musical as well, written by none other than the late, great Molly Jessup. She was a partner with us on many of our musical shows, mm-hmm. and she wrote some beautiful music for this. So it is very much a holiday musical show, you know, with lots of fun and laughter, but a kind of a serious message underneath it.
Very honest. It's a very honest message. And yeah. I've had the honor of working on many of Molly Jessup's musicals that she's written for TYA, and it's been nothing but a blast to be able to do it again. And this is new for me, and I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, bet you are. Did you write the book first, and then Molly read that, and then came up with the music?
Right.
People often ask how this works.
How it works. Uh-huh. I wrote the script. We worked together from the beginning. I said this was our first real project together. You know, I'd worked with her a lot as a musical director for our shows, and she was so good. And she would often write a little piece of music for a show that we were doing that had other music in it. And I said, Molly, you should write a musical. And this was our first one. I wrote the script, and I actually wrote lyrics, and then she took the lyrics, and mostly she put music to what I wrote, but sometimes she would rewrite, and some of the best lyrics or stuff she wrote added into it. She would, one of those songs in it is called Safe and Warm, and this was personal to Molly because her son was in the Middle East in the military at the time, and she was worried about him, and she wrote it, dedicated it to her son, who was in the military in Iraq, I think, at that time. So it was cool.
Yeah.
But this is a relentlessly multicultural show.
I love that. It would have to be.
Because
New York is that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, the country is that way, if you think about it. And we set it up in a way that the three cats represent different elements of the religious and ethnic diversity of the United States.
Oh, sure.
We could read a little scene if you want.
Oh, go ahead, sir, if you want.
This is a scene where it sets up how the big display they're going to put in the alley to save it from being taken over by the developers. They're going to make it such a tourist attraction, no one would want to tear it down. So Judy, the cat, who's kind of an innocent Judy Garland type Baptist woman and cat.
She's by Elise Poling, and she's absolutely wonderful.
Yes, yes. Elise Poling plays the part, and so Elise, forgive me for my interpretation of your role. I won't be very good, but Evan actually plays the part of Jack. So Judy says, I have an idea.
A miracle on St. Francis Alley. What is it?
A Christmas display. Ooh, that's good, Saraswati said. Saraswati's the third cat, so I'll read that part, too.
Okay.
Ooh, that's good.
And that's played by Stephen Eubank, and he does a wonderful job as well.
Stephen Eubank, yes.
A Christmas display.
Yeah, you know, like they have at Rockefeller Center or in the store windows at Fifth Avenue, Christmas lights and music and shepherds and cows and a manger and a baby Jesus and the three wise guys from the east, all of that stuff. Ooh, that's good, Saraswati says. People go to see Rockefeller Center and Fifth Avenue, and they do come to St. Francis Alley at night, too, if we have a nice display.
Okay, I think you're onto something. Now, but there's just one thing.
What?
It can't just be a Christmas nativity display. It has to be ecumenical.
Oh, I think it'll be economical, Jack. We'll just use stuff we find here in the trash. Saraswati says, besides, we're cats. We don't have any money to spend anyway.
Not economical, ecumenical. It means something that is for all religions, not just one. I am a Jewish cat, you know.
We're cats. People are Jewish. Cats are cats.
I happen to be a Jewish cat. I did live in a Jewish home for 10 years.
Oh. Well, Amy's family was Emmanuel Baptist, so I guess that's what I am. And as you know, I am an artful blending of several cultures and nationalities.
Well, aren't we all?
Half Siamese, half Abyssinian, half Burman.
That's three halves, Saraswati.
I am, in fact, a cat and a half.
Oi!
For my Siamese ancestry, I celebrate Oriental holidays, such as the Feast of Lanterns and the Birthday of the Sun.
Okay, fine.
As an Abyssinian, I have ancestors from Abyssinia, which is Ethiopia and Northern Africa, and so I observe Islamic holidays, such as the Festival of the Prophet's Birthday. I am also part Burman, which is the ancient sacred cat once worshipped by Buddhist monks, so we can't leave out Buddhism.
Oh, heaven forbid. But
and Chrysanthemum, the girl who rescued me from a cage in the animal shelter, gave me my spiritual name, Saraswati, after the Hindu goddess of music, which is why I'm so musical, and why I celebrate the Makara Sankranti and the Garland of Lights.
Is that all, Saraswati?
That's all I can think of at the moment.
Very good, Gene. You need to come out of your self-retirement.
I've got to read that. This would be my breakthrough moment. Right? But that sets it up, you know, that it's going to be an ecumen. So it has plenty of Christmas stuff, but it celebrates all holidays.
Since cats are mostly carnivores, what do you eat on Sabbath? I have to know.
Well, it's very interesting. When they asked me to play Jack as a Jewish cat, I'm a black man, and I was like, okay, well, I'm going to play this Jewish cat. But people thought that was very strange for a black man to play a Jewish cat.
I don't know why.
But my grandmother used to teach Hebrew. And so I grew up learning about the Jewish religion through my grandmother. And so it wasn't so strange for me to play this role. It is actually, you know, it's reminding me of my late grandmother and my late grandfather and the times that I had with them, and just the heritage that I learned and the history that I learned about the Jewish faith just through my grandmother being just such an educated woman and wanting us to know more than what our own religion was. I grew up in a Christian family, and she wanted us to know more. And so to play this role, I mean, it's been hard, but it's allowing me to grow as an actor and as a human, and bringing me back to my past. So it's pretty cool.
Sure. Well, who are some of your fellow performers in the show? We mentioned a few names.
Yes, we have Stephen Eubank.
Stephen is very energetic.
Yes.
When you direct something, I don't think the actors get to sit hardly.
He's in constant motion. He's an incredible director, choreographer, human being. And then we have Elise Poling, who is, she plays Judy, and she's just a beautiful person, just wonderful to be around, and so talented, gorgeous voice, gorgeous soprano. Then we also have R.H.
Will Hoyt. who Hollis. Goes by the name of Hollis. Yes. That's what we call him. But yes. It's R.H.
He plays Max. And Max was originally played by
Don Richard, who went on to Broadway and play as the leading role in Urinetown on Broadway. And he's come back to Kansas City a few times to do shows, but he was the original Max.
Yes.
You've had several actors that have done that and gone on to other things.
Yeah, yeah.
I forget the young man's name. He had a show on TBS for a while.
Yeah,
A store. He worked in a store.
Yes.
But he told me that he had had classes at theater.
Exactly, actors. Yeah. He played Huckleberry Finn in our production years ago. And, yeah, several have gone on to bigger and more famous venues. But,
sure.
That's good.
You were going to talk, and I interrupted. I'm sorry.
We also have Victoria Barbie, who is playing the homeless woman in the show, named Maureen. And she's just one of the brightest lights in Kansas City. And anytime we do a show with her, she walks in and she's always just positive. And she works a lot for the homeless community of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to play this role, she's well-versed in it because that's what she does. And she helps homeless people of Kansas City. And she's just a beautiful person. And there's also Lauren Moore, who is our newest person at TYA.
Yes, Lauren plays the young woman
with a young baby, and she's a beautiful, beautiful human being as well. And her voice, you got to come see the show just to hear her voice. It's just so sweet. It's so innocent. And she's just a gorgeous person. So,
sure. What kind of accompaniment do you have for the music?
It's recorded. It was recorded by Molly herself.
Really?
Yeah.
You get to actually hear Molly Jessup perform.
Yeah, and she did a beautiful job of writing it and recording it. She played so well for actors, you know, and for singers to sing with, I think. So gave them the easy entry cues and that sort of thing. So you can really. And we have such a talented singing cast. You know, they're all good actors as well, but there's some really fine voices in this, and they do Molly's music great justice, I think.
It's amazing music, and we get to carol and sing some Christmas songs as well as Hanukkah songs.
Oh, I bet so.
It's a blast to be able to do. We have this whole number at the end of the show about all of these different holidays that are all in the holiday season, and it's fun, and it's about 10 minutes, and every time we're done with it, we're all out of breath, but it's worth it.
Your face is just beaming. It must be a lot of fun for you. What kind of costuming? You actually have a cat?
Yes, I have a cat costume. I wear a nice long curly wig, and I've got my cat ears on, and I'm wearing a unitard, and yes, and some shorts that were made for us by Val and Cheryl, who are our costumers, and we look really great.
And a tail.
And a tail. I got a tail, too, so it's good.
I guess Valerie directs as well.
Valerie is directing it, and Amy Hurlbrink came in to choreograph. Val usually choreographs, too, but Amy has come in to help on this one and did a great job of choreographing the musical numbers, and Valerie worked on the costumes as well as Cheryl Mackey too, who she is working on them as we speak, I think.
Some of
the tails are being attached.
Show opens tomorrow.
Yes.
Runs through December the 20th. I have it down here. It runs through December the 24th.
Exactly.
At the H&R Block City Stage Theater, lower level, Union Station, the number to call for more information. Actually, I have two numbers here.
Yes.
Gene will have to tell me which one is the right one. 816-460-2083.
Yes.
Or 816-460-2020.
Both are good. 2083 is our office, and we're there most of the time, but not all of the time. So we give the Union Station number. They can take reservations as well, and we'll be happy to do so.
I see. And I have the website, tya.org. Can they make their plans online as
well?
That's
right. You can click on purchasing single tickets, and it'll take you right to the box office system, and you can order your tickets online. or come on down tomorrow. I think we have seats available tomorrow. I haven't looked lately, but I think there's seats. The holidays begin tomorrow, at least by Wednesday they begin. We have a show on Wednesday as well. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we have a show at 12 noon, I think.
It really is a beautiful show. And Cheryl came in to watch the very end of the show. She was in there for 2 minutes, and she left in tears because it just ends so beautifully. And the message and the story about people all coming together and just being present and being there for each other. It's just a really beautiful moment that I think a lot of people should come and see.
And it's nice to be able to make awareness in a creative, fun type way. Exactly. So the way you do it in the plays you write. Is that why you write a lot of your songs?
Yeah, that's an inspiration for a lot of what we do. The theater is a communal activity. It brings people together in the same spot at the same time. So I think it promotes that kind of cohesion and community feeling that we're all in this together. We're all part of the same society, the same time and place, and we should work together. We live in a kind of divisive time in many ways, and it's been very therapeutic to some of us working on this play, which promotes communal awareness, being aware of everybody in the community and celebrating everybody's place in the community.
Oh, sure.
So we like that.
Oh, sure. I remember when I was a child, your theater hadn't started yet. Now I'm giving my age. Our grade school took us to the Little Theater.
Yes.
We saw lots of shows, and I know that affects me in certain ways, having seen all of these shows as a child, the Philharmonic as well. They took us to all that stuff. And I know that has an effect on, you know, why I do what I do and all of that.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from people, I'm going to say as old as you or almost as old as you, who say that they went to a show as a child at TYA and it affected them their whole life. So I think what you're saying is true.
And to be an actor and to have the opportunity to, a lot of these kids, it's the first show that they've ever seen. It's the first theater experience ever. And to be a part of that, it's important. We just closed Click Clack Moo. And we had 500 students there every day. Mm-hmm. And we did shows for audience of 1,400.
Wow.
And that was an amazing experience. It's a lot of those kids' first show that they ever saw. And that's the coolest part about working about TYA is that, you know, that you have this impact in their lives for just an hour. They just have to focus on, you know, you focus on them, they're focusing on you, and you make it happen.
Three Wise Cats, a Christmas musical, opens tomorrow, November 22nd, and runs through December the 24th. A presentation of Theater for Young America, located at the H&R Block City Stage Theater in Union Station. The number to call, 2-816-460-2083 or 816-460-2020, or you can go online at tya.org. I want to thank both of you for coming.
Thank you, Brian.
Gene, for telling the story and writing the story and all of that. That writing is undoubtedly more difficult than performing. Probably not if you're inspired.
Yeah. They're both hard.
Gene Mackey has directed, has written, has performed. We got him to admit that. In many shows as well. The executive director, of course, of Theater for Young America. And Evan Lovelace, who plays the role of Jack, the Jewish cat.
Jewish cat.
It's very good the way you mix the different cultures in there. It appeals to a lot more people that way.
Exactly.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, we have another Christmas show to tell you about. We're going to talk about The Happy Elf, a Harry Connick Jr. musical, when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. Welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host, part of the Arts lineup here on KKFI. We have Arts Magazine on Mondays. We have Arts Speak Radio on Wednesdays, both at noon, and sometimes Charles Ferrugia on Friday, and some of the other programmers kick in with some arts programming as well. Just trying to put the arts more in your mind and let you know what's going on in the arts community as you listen to the arts programming here on KKFI. We hope you'll listen to all the shows and support all the shows as well. We're in the middle of the Christmas season. I've got 3 Christmas interviews down, a bunch more to go. We're going to journey out to Blue Springs now for this interview, and we're going to talk with the Blue Springs City Theater, where they are presenting The Happy Elf, a Harry Connick Jr. musical. And with us to tell us all about it is Greg Chafin. He is the director of the show, The Happy Elf. And also with us, Harry Cooper, who plays the role of, and I should have guessed, Santa, because you have a beard and white hair. I don't know. Is your hair whiter than mine at this point? Okay. And C.J. Miller is with us. He plays the role of Yubi. Am I saying that right, C.J.? The Happy Elf himself here in the show, The Happy Elf. Greg had so much fun directing their Christmas show last year in Blue Springs. They brought him back for another year. Is that pretty much the way it works, Greg?
That is exactly how it works. I had a lot of fun last year. Last year I had a chance to work with a lot of children in the Blue Springs Community Theater area, and this year it turned out to be no different. We've got more adults in the cast this go-around.
Really?
But this being a traditional musical, as opposed to last year, is more of a sing-along type thing. This year it's a real musical, and all of the kids came back, and a lot of new faces as well.
So you had kids that wanted to do it again.
Absolutely.
It's a lot more. They discover rather quickly that it's a lot more work than they originally thought.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. All those rehearsals and the second takes, and the director saying, let's do that again, only better this time.
Exactly. It's a great choice, but let's not make that one.
CJ plays... Yubi, the Happy Elf. I don't know, to you or Greg or maybe Harry, do you want to do the storyline for us? What's the challenge for Yubi here as he gets ready for Christmas, I assume?
Yubi is an elf from the North Pole, and he's a trainee to try to make the toys for Santa to bring on his sleigh to all the towns.
Okay.
But then Santa opens up this competition where he chooses 3 elves to ride along with him. It's called the Sleigh Team. And Yubi and his 3 friends, and his 2 friends, Ham and Gilda, decide that they really want to do this. So Yubi does a little research and finds a town that has nothing but naughty kids. And it's been like that for quite a few years. So Yubi decides that he's going to go to this town and turn at least one of the kids nice before Christmas, so that he can be chosen on the Sleigh Team for doing something brave and nice. So he meets Molly and Curtis from Bluesville, which is a town that gets up to 23 seconds of sunlight a day.
23 seconds of sunlight a day.
They would have the blues, yes.
So he goes there and he finds them. And when he gets there first, nobody... He wouldn't show it, but I don't think he really liked many of the people there, and the people didn't really like him there. But they start to grow on each other through talking about different stuff in Bluesville, like the What Factory.
Yeah, Bluesville is the center of where all question marks are made.
Ah.
So everybody in Bluesville pretty much works solely at the What Factory. There's an entire song that goes into that in grand detail. Just the word what,
yeah,
over and over again. And then he goes to Bluesville and tries to convert Molly and Curtis to being good kids, and it turns out that he can make that happen. But there's also other characters that come around, like Norbert, who is Yubi's boss in the North Pole, who absolutely doesn't want Yubi to be on the Sleigh Team at all. He's kind of like the grouchy elf, if you will. And
has no concept of fun at all.
Yeah. And he comes to Bluesville and tries to strip all of the good that Yubi does down. And, you know, happiness and the joy of Christmas conquers all.
Oh, it sounds like he is quite a grouch there. Right?
Yeah.
Tell us about the songs that... Well, I'll go with you first. Tell us about the songs that you sing.
Well, there's quite a few of them.
Well, I kind of figured there probably was.
Well, the opening song is called, appropriately, The Happy Elf. Mm-hmm. It kind of introduces the North Pole and everybody in it. It is a very jazzy song, and UB, Ham, and Gilda all have solos in it. It's a happy song, and it's pretty much all about UB. There are a few other songs, like The Pole Leaders, which is pretty much the council that runs the North Pole.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, that's where we introduce Santa into the show.
That's where I come in. Norbert, Mrs. Claus, Cookie Stealer.
Well, that would explain a few things.
But yeah, you know, that's, you find out, you know, the ruling council for the North Pole, and you find out how, you know, how things kind of work together up there, and find out there's a little power struggle going on, thinking, you know, everybody thinks they're in charge. You know, Norbert's, you know, got his ideas, you know, sucking the fun out of everything.
Oh.
Mrs. Claus wants to make sure Santa's a little bit more health conscious.
Yeah.
And Santa, in the meantime, is just trying to be Santa.
Yeah.
He's trying to get toys out. He's trying to have fun. He's trying to enjoy his milk and cookies. And nothing seems to be falling into place.
We all want Santa to be healthy, don't get me wrong. But a Santa that would be very thin would just be, would be out there.
Nah, cannot have a thin Santa.
Yeah.
No treadmills for him.
Are you recognized as Santa even away from the theater? You do kind of have the look.
I have been commented on that a couple of times, but really no. Other than I've had a few people say, you know what, are you this jolly all year long? I was like, yeah. And, you know, the fun thing is, you know, as Greg said, you know, hot cast with a lot of children, and I love being around and working with children. It is a blast. It's fun. It's challenging. But it just really brings everything together. And when it all comes together, it's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Greg's probably very good with children. He has three of his own.
Yes, I do. Yeah, and going back to what we were talking about with the songs, every song, as you would expect in a Harry Connick Jr. musical, has got, like, a bluesy, jazzy feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the big chorus songs are very much jazz-infused. So it really appeals to anybody that would listen to that kind of music. The songs are not your traditional Jingle Bells or, you know, any of your traditional Christmas songs. They're all kind of reinvented songs for the Christmas time.
I remember when it first came out. I forget how many years ago it was.
Yeah, I believe it was at the Coterie.
Yeah, it was at the Coterie, yeah. And I remember they said at the time that he didn't write the book, I don't think, but he did write the music based on what he read off of the book. So it was his show in that respect. But only the music is what Connick wrote.
Yeah, I know he had a hand in the book, but I don't know exactly where that is, because on the book it does have his name on it.
Yeah, and several of the actors that were in the show at the time got to work with him. The actor who played UB got to actually work with Harry Connick Jr. Wouldn't that have been a blast for you?
Definitely.
That'd be a little intimidating, too.
It'd be tough to have it.
It would have helped out with kind of learning how to jazz it up.
Oh, wow, you just... You just let your spirit take you away there.
Come on, I'm talking to music. I mean, you know, you get the jazz pieces. I mean, UB's and my piece is very much a jazz piece. But then when you get into Bluesville, you know, you get a slight shift into really more of a, I don't want to say dark, but kind of a very bluesy. You know, you get that kind of gritty, bluesy, dark vibe going. And it's just wonderful. And the actor we got singing the mayor's part there, he is super.
Yeah, if there's a villain in the story, that was the gentleman you mentioned earlier.
The closest thing you have to an antagonist would be Norbert.
Norbert.
We do have Norbert as our antagonist for UB, but in general, Bluesville as a whole is kind of the antagonist to the greater joy of Christmas coming through, because the town is always on the naughty list. They don't care. They like literally. Curtis and Molly. Molly is the daughter of the mayor, and Curtis is her mischief manager. Like, that is his role in the show. yeah. But it's
nice to have a kind of a, you have the North Pole, which is, I guess, a city within itself, run by the New World Order, I guess. From the way and then you have Bluesville, where everything's down, and then, you know, Santa. Why does Santa let all this negativity get so close to him? I would think the magic of Santa would just rule that over.
Yeah, I think it's just more, he's trying to be more perceptive of the whole world in general. It's like, okay, what's really going on out there? And so, yeah, you know, you have Norbert coming in, you know, you have the people who are checking the Naughty Nessus, and, you know, he gets that feed from it, so.
Oh, you have to check it twice. Don't forget to check it.
Sometimes three times.
Are you in traditional Santa costuming?
Yeah, the costuming for Santa is going to be very traditional.
Yeah. What about you, B? What? How do you dress an elf?
As ridiculous as it can get. Yeah, the elf hat.
Bells on your shoes? Stuff like that?
No, we dampened all the bells. There's too many. There's too many elves running around stage to have bells on their feet.
Yeah. Well, that would get kind of annoying after a while, I would think. A lot of fun as
it
well.
Definitely is a lot of fun. Yeah.
Are most of the workers at the North Pole, are they kids?
Yeah, most of the workers in the toy factory are very much on the younger scale, and then in Bluesville it's kind of like a teens and up, so kind of split them between those two groups.
Sure. Well, so let's talk to CJ first. Have you done many shows at Blue Springs or other theaters? I'm sure you're experienced. If you would, I doubt that you would get this part right off the bat.
Well, Blue Springs has really been kind of my acting go-to place.
Uh-huh.
If I want to do a show, I usually go to Blue Springs to do it. I've done shows at CYT, Raytown, and I've done a couple professional things to go along with it. I did a show at MTH 1 year.
Uh-huh. Musical Theater Heritage. Mm-hmm. What did you do? What show
was it? It was Oliver. I was one of the orphans.
Ah.
So that was a really good experience. Boy, Happy Elf is my 29th show.
Well, you're pretty seasoned. Pretty seasoned so far. Well, did you have a favorite role amongst all the ones that you've done so far?
Well, this one is definitely a fun one. I do enjoy this one a lot. But my favorite role, there's a lot to choose from. It's probably Mowgli. I was Mowgli in Jungle Book.
Uh-huh.
And that was so much fun to do. It was interacting with a lot of the cast. Most of the cast I interacted with. It was fun to really, because I got to be myself with Mowgli, because it's kind of, if I were to be a boy in a jungle, I would be a lot like Mowgli.
Yeah, sure. So did you start taking classes as a younger child?
Well, what got me into theater was, I went to a CYT show. It was Seussical. And I really saw it, and I was like, I really want to do something like that. And so we went to Blue Springs, and they were doing A Running Christmas, and I did that, and I really enjoyed it. And I just kept on going. I have taken acting classes with Wright Laird Casting. And
so you have an agent.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And like I said, a couple of professional parts. I did a KU student movie where I was one of the lead characters. I did an educational video. I actually did a KC Auto Show commercial. I voiced the dad.
What was the movie at KU?
It was about a group of friends where one of them, they're kind of like stereotypical teenagers. One of them's kind of the rebellious one. There's a girl who follows the rebellious one, has a big crush on him. And then there's the kid who's kind of tries to be good, even though his friends are kind of leading him in the wrong direction. That was my part.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes.
And it was pretty much about them. They had an argument because the bad guy pretty much took them to a factory, which they had to do an initiation, which was the name of the short film. And one of their friends got hurt during the initiation, and pretty much they just avoided that friend who led them there altogether. It's kind of like how a friendship got ruined.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's not a happy ending tale at all.
hey, all art does not have to have a happy ending. Sometimes it's more revealing the other way, mm-hmm. as long as you know, as long as it's understandable and comes to a reasonable conclusion.
In that part, definitely did help me out with my acting skills, knowing that this isn't just going to end in happy endings all the time. I can be more somber than happy all the time, but this is the show where I really do
happy. Pretty much have to be, if you're the happy elf.
Yeah.
Pretty much stereotyped into that position. What about Harry Cooper? You play Santa in this. What have you done before?
Actually, this is my first venture into community theater.
Really?
I mean, I've done a lot of music all my life. I've played in orchestras, bands, and all that, but as far as theater goes, I had one theater class in high school back in the dark ages. And then real recent, a couple years ago, the music director for Happy Elf, Ginger Birch, she was directing a musical at our church, Esther. And I got into that and kind of got bit by the theater bug there. And it's like, yeah, okay. And then the opportunity came along for the Happy Elf, and I just jumped at it and said, you know, this sounds like a lot of fun.
Santa's a hard role. I mean, you have big expectations.
Yeah, big boots to fill.
That's right. Well, not just boots all the time. Do you have padding under your Santa costume? Oh. You're a small guy.
Yeah, no, this costume, I do have padding under it. It's just kind of one of those, and I'm going to be really interested when we get into the actual dress rehearsals to start seeing what that's going to do for my stage movements.
Well, you'll probably slow down a little. So you'll have to. Greg will be saying, pick it up. Move it along. Now, Greg has directed before, acted before, yes. Written things before.
Yes,
as well.
That's true.
What was the name of the group that you had over at
Just Off Broadway?
Just Off Broadway.
That was a Journeyman Theater Company, uh-huh. And we're still around. We just are kind of biding time until we can get our finances.
So I see your name on the credits at the Unicorn.
Yes, I am the technical director at the Unicorn Theater.
Yeah. So is that a good position to have?
It's a fantastic position to have. I get to build sets for a living in it.
The last time she was on here, I asked her. I said, you have a good staff? Are you very demanding? And she immediately agreed, yes, I'm very demanding.
Absolutely.
she does good work, though.
She does amazing
work. Cynthia Levin is who I'm talking about.
Yeah, she does amazing work over there. We're moving right along into application pending right now. We're getting the final touches of the set together, and an octoroon and application pending will be running together over there at the Unicorn.
Yeah, I have an octoroon interview booked. It's coming up soon. I'd have to look at my notes to tell you when. But something is coming up for there. So they keep busy over there. So you're kept busy all the time. Do you rush from there back home?
Yeah,
and then to Blue Springs.
Then Blue Springs, and then back home to put the kids to bed.
That's right. It was a long night. Well, we're talking with the director and two of the actors in the Blue Springs City Theater production of The Happy Elf, a Harry Connick Jr. Production. And it's my understanding that he wrote the music. He liked the story, wrote the music, and put his own special touch on it. And when it played in Kansas City at the Coterie a few years ago, actually worked with some of the stars, the young stars of the show, to do it. Do you have a large combo or a small combo? I guess a combo would be small. Do you have many musicians?
No, we're doing it off of the CD. Oh. I think trying to add too many live instruments in their particular space would prove to be more difficult with how large our cast is. I think
so. You're actually singing probably with actually Harry Connick Jr. probably playing in the background. The actual Harry.
And he's playing in town like the week before we...
Oh, really? He'll have to come by.
Yeah.
If he approved of what you're doing over there. Yeah, large, pretty large cast. How many did we say there was?
I think 36. Pretty sure there's 36, including ensemble and everybody.
And there's more adults this time than kids. I find that a little unusual for a Christmas
season. It's not more adults than kids. It's just more adults than last year.
But
the mayor of Bluesville and his wife and Santa and Mrs. Claus and a few of the Bluesville members are all more on the adult side.
Sure.
So,
yeah. I guess the biggest challenge would be costumes and scenery. Right?
Absolutely. And one of the great things about working in the community theater is everybody kind of steps up. Like, there's been a few moms that have whipped together costumes for like five or six other characters, and the whole community just comes together to create this piece of art.
They do a lot of that in Blue Springs. How long has Blue Springs City Theater been around? Oh, boy.
That's not really a number I have in my
30,
head.
30, I believe.
30 years. Coming up on 30, at least.
Okay, coming up on 30. Yeah. 25th? Okay. Well, that's a pretty long time. Keeping things going. They perform in the Blue Springs... they don't divide it between North and South. It's Blue Springs High School and Blue Springs South High School, and that's located at, and I have this here.
2000 somewhere. Northwest Ashton.
2000 Northwest Ashton Drive, Blue Springs. If you need to MapQuest things, you need the zip code, which is 64015. The number to call for more information is 816-228-0137, and online at Blue Springs.
CityTheater.com.
Yeah, BlueSpringsCityTheater.com. That's where you need to go. And I assume they can also buy the tickets online as well, if that's what they'd like to do.
Yes.
How many seats are there? Just guess for me.
I don't know exactly how many seats there are in the theater. I know that we can sell, I think it's like between around 200 seats. For individual performances, so for like prime seating.
If you'd like to go early on, and performances are Thursday, December 1st at 7:30, Friday the 2nd at 7:30, Saturday the 3rd at 7:30, a matinee on Sunday, December 4th at 2 o'clock p.m., then three more shows the next weekend, Friday at 7:30 on the 9th, Saturday the 10th at 7:30, and Sunday the 11th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Blue Springs City Theater, which is located in the High School of Blue Springs. As Greg said, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive, Blue Springs. Again, if you MapQuest, 64015 is the zip code. Show based on the songs of Harry Connick Jr. about goings on at the North Pole and getting Bluesville into the action and all of that. Just pull him in and get him whipped into shape, you know. You can't have any negativity at Christmas. It's just not allowed, is it?
Not at all.
But shows begin on Thursday, December 1st, and run through the 11th, basically Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the first weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the second weekend, Blue Springs City Theater. com. I want to thank all my guests for being with me today.
Thank you for having
us. All about so yet another Christmas show to choose from. I know some of you will want to see all of them. so you have to get in line for some of those as well. Greg Chapin, the director, he's also written and performed himself. Harry Cooper, who plays the role of Santa, always a challenge to be Santa. He's nodding and said yes.
Yes, I am.
And C.J. Miller, who plays the role of Yubi. Good luck on your career.
Thank you.
Well, who knows? Maybe we'll see you in something really big. Maybe you'll be here. You'll be in a really big show, like the, something at the Rep or something. Or the Unicorn. Maybe Greg can get you an audition at the Unicorn.
I got to say we know him when.
Thanks so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Jazz Insider, speaking of jazz, Sam Wiseman will be with us. He'll be playing jazz from 1 to 3, and then the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that cross in the road, I'm Michael Hoke. We'll see you next time.